Welcome to the Launch University Podcast, turning good intentions into reality in your career, business, and life. Here's your host, Jeff Henderson.
Happy New Year, everybody. Jeff Henderson, along with the Launch University team, Dave Farmer, Kevin Jennings, Shane Benson. This is the first time we've been together in quite a while.
It all four been. Of us, yeah, absolutely.
Since episode one and two.
So great. We still like each other, so that's great. Oh, yeah. Now, you may not be listening to this a few days before the new year, but that's when we're recording it. And so what we thought we would do is talk about how do you launch a new year? And this could be personal. This could be from a business standpoint. So we're going to give you some best practices. And is that kind of where we're heading today?
Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorite parts of the year, just getting a chance to slow down a little bit and then begin to look ahead. So I think that's the plan.
And one of the things we talked about, David, was before we kind of dive into some best practices of the year, is how do you approach the new year? So let's kind of start there. What are some best practices that you guys do to move in and prepare yourself for the new year?
Well, I would say first, take advantage of the opportunity to just do a pretty honest assessment of how things are going. Right. So here we are at the end of 16, heading into 17. You want to look back and just be really transparent with yourself. That almost sounds ironic, but I think you have to approach it that way and say, what went really well this year? What didn't go as well as I hope? And then let that feed the process of setting expectation, goals, establishing habits as you go into the new year.
Yeah, one question you gave me a few years ago was, where am I gaining ground and where am I losing ground? So did I gain ground in my marriage this year? Did I gain ground financially? Where did I gain ground and keep that momentum going? And where did I lose ground? Or where did I just kind of maintain and kind of go from there? So
just a thought too to add to that, because I know all of us take this opportunity, but it's really hard to ask those questions just in the shower before you head to work, right? You need to literally set aside some time and create some margin, especially this time of year where maybe it's a half a day, maybe it's all you got. I'd really encourage you to take an entire day and go someplace different. If it's a coffee shop, if it's a park, if it's the library, but spend some time really diving into some of these questions and some of the assessments that help you think and reflect on last year, but then get you excited about thinking about the next year.
So what are some other questions you would throw out to the community here?
You know, for me, specifically, I look at certain areas of my life. I've kind of bucketed these five areas of life for me, and that can be, you know, as a spouse, as a dad, financially, where are we, physically, where am I, and then as a leader. And so I really ask those questions in each one of those areas of my life, and that helps me keep on track. I'm not all over the place, but that way it gets me thinking about, okay, how did last year go, and then what are some of my goals, dreams, and desires for the next 2-3 years?
That's great. Now, Kevin, as Shane's saying, hey, get away for a whole day. There may be some people going, a whole day? What do I do by myself? Well, I'm an extrovert or whatever. So what are some best practices that you've used to kind of prepare for the new year?
Yeah, I think for me, I actually start to use the new year as a conversation piece with my wife and my family. So I start asking my wife, we start talking about dreams and goals. So every road trip for Thanksgiving, and we went to Nashville last weekend, and the whole time, the conversation's like, what do you feel about this year? How do you feel about it? And I use that opportunity as an extrovert to gain honest feedback from those who matter in my life, who have influence, in a way that doesn't put them in this weird, you know, psychologist, counselor feeling. So that's been a really great thing for me. So when I finally sit down and I have even 2 hours, it's much more productive because I've already put in the time of at least having conversations about it. The other thing I think, though, I do, that maybe think what Shane just said, is if you're a person who's not self-aware yet, to even just have the knowledge to know how to set goals. I think that was been my biggest struggle, has been I overestimate every goal. And so it doesn't matter how hard I work. Even if I gain ground, I can feel like I let myself down from the year because my aspirations were just too big. I would just say maybe you also need to just ask yourself, what have I learned about myself this year? Because I think that you'll have an opportunity to refine how to set goals when you are honest about who you are and your strengths, your weaknesses, your propensities maybe to overshoot so that you set yourself for success next year.
Yeah, and I think that's important because one of our worst critics can be ourselves. And so as you reflect, don't necessarily be a critic, be a coach. Okay, look at it and kind of adjust accordingly. Now, David, you take a full day to prepare. What does that day kind of look like for you?
Well, I love planning, and I know not everybody does, but I'm just wired that way, and I need focus. And I would tell you, Jeff, that ultimately I try to take what is a long-term plan, really looking 3 to 5 years out, and chunk it down into annual, quarterly, even weekly. And then I literally go so far as to pull out an index card and say, what needs to happen tomorrow? And once I've got it on an index card, I can kind of put everything else away. And that helps me focus, because I can get distracted and start chasing the next shiny object that kind of comes along. And so we've been taught that. Give a little shout out to Tommy Newberry, 1% Club, some of the other guys there, Charlie Finch and Hunter Hill. They've helped each of us, but I'm still working with those guys. And so I go through a quarterly process with them. And there's a day involved in that where you're every quarter thinking about what needs to happen this next quarter that's going to move you towards a longer term goal. But then every Sunday I go through the process of doing a plan for the week. And then each evening, ideally, I'll figure out what needs to go on the index card for tomorrow. If I get behind, I have to do the index card drill first thing in the morning.
David, I've heard you share this analogy and I've heard it before, but relating your planning to a trip.
Yeah.
You know, I think oftentimes it's hard to get your arms around the three-year goal and then breaking it down. But if you don't mind, share kind of your thought process on how you would relate that to a trip that you would take.
Well, planning is really just about being really specific about what you ideally want and then taking that end result and chunking it down into pieces. So we're in Atlanta. If we said we're driving to Orlando, we're going to Disney World, and we can visualize Disney World, we know why we want to go, we're real clear on that. We then say where we're going to drive, we're going to leave out of Atlanta, we got to go through Macon, we got to go through Albany, we got to go through Valdosta, Ocala, as we run down I-75. We're creating mile markers along the way. We know about what time we want to get to Macon, so it's time activated. So it's not really that mysterious. It's just taking the time to think it through and be explicit with what you want to happen, when you want it to happen.
So taking, like, for example, a three-year goal,
yep,
and saying, what do I need to do in the next 90 days? What's
correct,
that first exit? And what would a goal look like for the first 90 days of a three-year goal?
Exactly.
And attacking it like that.
Take the three-year goal, break it into 12 quarters, and then I'd keep chunking it down. So because there's a tendency we have to put things off and kind of overestimate what we can get done even mm-hmm. in a short period of time, but underestimate what we can do over a longer period of time if we're disciplined and we keep chipping it away. So the key is you got to come up with an appropriate allotment of activity in this given week, in this given month. And so that's what the chunking down process
does. It goes back to what you said, Kevin, too. You know, sometimes we set these huge goals and we try to do it in a too short of amount of time. It's like, I want to run a marathon in the next year, or I want to run a marathon in the next 90 days versus 3 years. Okay, it's out there. It's far enough out there where I can take some bite-sized chunks at it, but it's not so overwhelming. And I think that's been an aha for me over the last several years, is breaking these goals down into bite-sized pieces.
Yep.
John Maxwell says we tend to over-exaggerate yesterday. Like, oh, yesterday, high school was amazing. Well, if you went back to high school, it probably wasn't as amazing as you thought. And then we tend to overestimate tomorrow, but we tend to underappreciate today. Mm. And so that's really important. And now if you're listening to this and it's in February or March and you think, oh, I've missed it. You haven't missed it.
So oh, no.
You can, in fact, one of the things I love to do is at the first of the month, kind of pretend that it's a new year. Okay, well, if it's August the 1st, but what if this was January 1st? What would I do? So you don't have to wait in this January timeframe to do this. But we would encourage you, if you are listening to this time frame, a half day, or if a full day intimidates you, you know, maybe just start, you know, start where you are. But that's the old John Wooden example. If you don't have time to do it right the first time, when are you going to have time to do it over? And so, and the other thing we've been taught is Do you think you'll be alive 5 years from now? Okay, hope so. Well, what is your life going to be like when you get 5 years? And so what you're saying is just back it up.
It's just being intentional. It's almost you're functioning as a designer. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are going to be circumstances beyond my control. There are things that are going to happen that I never planned for. But to the degree that I get to determine what my future looks like as a designer, what would I want that to be? Now, I personally, because of my faith, I feel like I have to walk with God and He can redirect. We can always hit the reset button.
Right.
But I don't want to walk into the day just reacting to circumstances, to things that come my way. I could do that. I don't think I'd have a lot to show for it.
And I think one thing, you know, the three of you are already hitting on that I'm hoping people are hearing, and that is spending as much time action planning as you do goal setting. Like, I think that there's this, you know, myth around New Year's resolutions and if they're worth the energy, worth the time. But I think sometimes what I see with a lot of my friends is they'll set the goal, but they stop there. Like, the goal was set and they said, wow, I'm so excited about 2017. I have great goals. And you're right. You probably do have fantastic goals to improve your marriage, your health, launch your idea. But the key thing is taking that time to plan out some of the next steps and lay out maybe a little bit of your how, or more importantly, sometimes even just your when. I think you'll be set up for success. I think that was a big change for me, was when I started to do that. And I had to find a methodology that worked for me. You know, I'm a methodology guy. I love to try methodologies. And a couple years ago, I tried this blogger, writer, Chris Guillebeau, bestselling author, wrote $100 Startup, fantastic guy. But he was an entrepreneur, and he had 100% control of his day-to-day. I was working for an organization, and I was newly married, and I was trying to apply method from a single entrepreneurial guy who was openly a nomad, you know, to my life, and it didn't work. And I think so, but it started with me going beyond goal setting and then also saying, being honest with myself about what I wanted to accomplish that year. Some things you cross over to the someday I just might want to list versus no, this has to happen in 2017. And I think that's one thing I would challenge everybody to do, is really boil the list down. Like, you know, in your heart, there are only a few things that you really know need to happen or you're really more passionate about. And I think you have to give yourself that bandwidth to say, it's okay if it's just 4 out of the 16.
Yeah, that's that's a great point. Goal setting and action planning.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get really tactical and just kind of share a little personal example? We're sitting here this morning and I had a good morning. I got up early. I worked out. I had devotion time. I had prayer time. I went through my goals. I had a protein shake, and I've decided I want to drink more juice. I did that. I even had to go to the dentist before I came here. But I got all that stuff done, and I would not have gotten that stuff done if, first of all, I didn't do some planning this past weekend and mapped out kind of what I wanted the week to look like. And if I didn't, so to speak, set the table last night, you know, I got my gym stuff out. I got everything set up to take the friction out of the morning. And if you eliminate some of that friction, it helps you when you don't wake up and you don't feel the motivation. I just make it easier. So it comes down to, okay, just get up and go execute the plan.
And a great day begins the night before.
That's right. Principle.
And I think it's a perfect setup for something you said earlier about habits. You know, you talked to me, so Jeff, you don't mind repeating what you said before we started about the power of habits.
Well, you know, New Year's resolutions have a kind of a bad rap. But and part of that is because I believe in New Year's resolutions or goal setting, but it's the habits. Habits eat New Year's resolutions for breakfast. It's what are your habits? And so let's talk a little bit about that. What are examples of habits that you guys have used that have helped you move into a new year?
I tell you what, before I answer that question, it's really interesting because here's the tension I'm feeling right now. I'm actually really good at writing things that I need to get done, but they're not as motivating for me. It's like the habit, I think, becomes a habit because it starts out as an action item and you do it over and over and over. But what I found is I have to have motivation to get me there. And so the story I tell real quick is my son was applying for a military college and he was really excited. And he said, Dad, let's do P90X together. And I'm like, P90X, you know, 90 days, hard workouts. And I made the mistake of putting that video in the night before to watch it, and I was like, holy cow, this is really going to be hard. And what I found after 2 weeks is I had no desire to go to a military college myself. And my son did. He was like really inspired, had this powerful why. And it reminds me of the book Simon Sinek wrote about Start With Why. It's like, when you have this powerful why, what and how get much easier. And habits are the what and the how. It's like, here's what I need to do, and you do it, and you do it over time, and you do it consistently, but it's the why that drives that. And so my encouragement, especially in this season, is really look for that why in your life. Like, what are those areas of your life that are driving you, and why is it you want to work on that? Because there will be moments when you don't feel like getting up. And the reason David got up today is because he's got a greater why. I mean, there are days when you want to check it off the list and you're motivated, but there are other days when you just go, I don't want to do this. And you've got to be able to reflect back on the why, because the why is really what drives the what and how. So I just want to encourage each of us to really spend some time thinking about your why, because ultimately that will drive. And that's what happens with New Year's resolutions. You never really had a strong why going in. You just said, I want to lose a few pounds. And that fizzles, and what and how fizzles really quickly. So I think even before I start thinking about habits, I got to pull up and think about the why.
Yeah. To build on that, I love that, Shane. To build on that, we often want to microwave success. We have the why, and then we just want everything to happen really fast. And that's not the way most success comes. And so when you ask about habits, I think about not just habits, but other success rituals that I need to build in, because you have to chip away at progress towards that ultimate goal. And so what I've actually done is figured out what are some of those critical rituals, behaviors, or habits, and actually just started charting them. I mean, it's as simple as creating a little spreadsheet, listing the critical behaviors down the first column, running days of the month out, and go column by column. How'd I do on those things? And it helps me look for patterns, figure out where I'm not getting it done, and I need to turn it up a notch, knowing that that's in many cases the way I'm going to ultimately see that why come to fruition.
Yeah, and I know for me, one of my biggest challenges or habits that I've had to really work on over the years is just physical exercise. And probably 15 years ago, I sat down and said, okay, what's my real why here? And I got a hold of what for me was a sticky thought or a statement, and it started with, I want to beat my grandkids at soccer. Like, that was the thought that came to mind. I could imagine myself being in a park, and my grandkids go, hey, granddad, play soccer with us. And they're constantly going, how are you keeping up? And that led to this idea of, I just want to be an athlete that feels younger than he looks.
And to clarify, you don't have grandkids right now.
I don't have grandkids, right. Yeah. But someday I will. And but this idea of, I just want to be an athlete who feels younger than he looks. And that's my sticky statement. So that drives me to go, well, then what do I need to do? And the habits that I have is I literally, the night before, I set out all of my workout clothes in my bathroom, right? The shoes, the socks, the outfit, I know exactly what I'm wearing, and I literally roll out of bed, and the first place I go is typically the bathroom, and I have to walk by those clothes, and I go, okay, I got to put that stuff on. And I put that stuff on, and it motivates me to get to the gym. And part of that motivation is, I want to beat my kids on the soccer field, my grandkids on the soccer field. And so I think it's this combination of having a really sticky kind of why statement for yourself, but then building in the habits that help that.
Well, let's stay there, and we can come back to habits, but talk about some other sticky statements that you have that help define your why.
Yeah, well, for me, again, I go back to these areas of my life. So, you know, I want to be an athlete who feels younger than he looks. For my spouse goal, I want to be, my wife's name's Gina, I want to be Gina's best friend. That's the goal. I just want to be her best friend. So what would that a best friend do? For my kids, is I want to be a dad my kids love to hug. So fast forward 15 years from now, and they come home, and first thing they want to do is hug dad. That gives me a vision of what that looks like. I want to be a leader others desire to follow. So that drives some of the habits, things like writing encouragement notes, things of that nature. I think those are the four that I have currently. And so for me, I want to be a friend you can call at 2:00 in the morning. That's the other one as far as a friend. It's like, okay, you're a friend. If something bad's going on, you don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I hate to compete with that. Kevin, yeah, you got anything? That's hard.
I really don't. I think one of the only habits I feel like I've done a great job of refining recently when it comes to New Year planning and just thinking about that is really reflecting. Because of that, the previous guy, Chris Guillebeau, his methodology is really heavy on reflecting. And it's pretty exhaustive. And it just helped me see things more clearly. And you were talking about assessing the year honestly. I always walk away surprised and actually pleased with my progress. Because I'm more of a critic than a coach when it comes to myself. I coach everybody else, but I criticize myself. And whenever I sit down and actually reflect, I'm like, oh, that happened this year. Wow. Every single year I walk away actually pleased and saying, hey, there's momentum here.
Right.
You might not feel that, but the facts are the facts. And they say you've progressed. You know, your life's gotten better. Your financial situation has improved. Your marriage is stronger. You know, obviously the ebbs and flows of life don't give you that opportunity. And I think for me, I would recommend looking at your wins and losses, what you did well, what you didn't do well. And I recommend asking yourself, what have I learned about me? What has changed? Because I think when I look at the goals I've set, they evolve. And I think that's been the hardest part even for me trying to set 3-year goals, because I love the methodology you all are speaking of, is I'm asking myself harder questions about who I am to even give myself that kind of opportunity to say, right, will this goal be something I even want to continue pursuing, you know, 12 quarters from now? I think that's a big thing. So I think spending time to ask yourself those things are things I really enjoy, because it really sets the table for me to see where I'm gaining ground, where I'm not gaining ground, and if I want to even continue to pursue ground in that particular area of my life.
Well, just building on that just a second. So what I hear is there's a habit where you're trying to reflect on, hey, how things went, what went well, what didn't go so well, what would you do differently? Speak to how do you guys do that not only once a year, but on a weekly basis? What does that look like? Do any of you guys have a habit where you just kind of reflect and spend time going, okay, what went well, what didn't go so well, and what would you do differently, and how's that helping you?
I have a weekly review process. That's probably the closest I have to that. That's where I look back at the past week and talk about what did not go well and what did happen that was really good. And then I build that into the plan for the coming week. So typically do that on Sunday.
How much time you spend doing that, David?
I get into my calendar and I try to, it's one thing to say I want to make something happen. It's something else to go ahead and calendar it. And in some cases, I'll even calendar a couple of weeks out. So I spend a good hour on that, but it's because in some cases I'm going ahead and I'm booking things. I'll even go online and sign up for workout classes a couple of weeks ahead, or I'll go ahead and load the activity as an appointment into Outlook so that it's scheduled. So that adds a little bit of time, but it increases the likelihood that it's going to happen and the time does not get I don't get bumped by something else that just pops up.
So the habit is a weekly review you do where you look back and you look forward and you plan proactively based on your goals that you've set.
Yeah, and I know that might be freaking some people out there going, that dude is way too OCD for me. But what I would tell you is once you've gotten into this habit, when you start a Monday and you haven't done it, you go, oh my gosh, I'm just flying by the seat of my pants right now.
Right.
And it's okay. It's kind of fun. But you look back and go, I didn't really get all this stuff done. And then it's not a good feeling when the stuff that needed to happen piles up on you and you go, oh, I don't have time to get it done now. I got to go beg out of stuff.
I think it was Henry Cloud that said, you are ridiculously in charge. You are ridiculously in charge of your schedule. And when you go into a Monday not having thought about that proactively, all of a sudden everybody else is in charge of your schedule at that point.
And Shane, I think you have to fundamentally ask, am I going to act like I'm in charge mm-hmm. of my life and my schedule? Am I the CEO of me? And if so, you have to go through the discipline of thinking about what it is that you need to do, and to your point, the why. And it's just being responsible to sit down and map out how that's going to actually happen. As we like to say, hope is not a strategy. at least not a good one.
Yeah, you would never go into family vacation planning and going, you have a vision of what your family vacation is going to look like, and then not plan it. It's not going to happen, right? You got to sit down and spend some time thinking about that proactively for it to actually happen. So,
I feel like what's, and you guys are you know, a little bit ahead of me, and so I always get the I always get the pleasure
because I'm glad they can't see the age difference.
I mean, whenever I'm with you all have to talk. I mean, it just affirms so many things in my life in a positive way, and I'm sure a lot of the people who are listening feel the same way. There are times when you can hear what these gentlemen are saying, and it may feel like, wow, that's so far removed from me. But I think the key thing is, from my observation, you all did this one piece at a time, like one habit at a time. It took time to get there. But I think the key thing is, please take note of the mental shift that these guys are sharing with you, because I'm still in the thick of it. I just had my first child in January of this year. I got married 5 years ago, moved from Nashville to Atlanta, started two businesses while having a full-time job, just launching stuff, just getting it, just allowing my professional ambition to throw me into weird situations. And that's cool, but I got here by saying yes a lot. But it's become really apparent to me this year in particular that I'm going to get to the next level by saying no a lot. And that might be even me saying no to myself. But the key thing is, I just want people to understand, like, it took me saying to myself for the first time this year, you know, I have to do a better job of managing my life. You know, I used to compensate for everything by extra effort. You know, poor planning. Oh, I'll just work. I'll work longer hours. You know, I didn't think that through. That's okay. I'll just apologize and give that person extra, whatever it needs to be done.
And I bet what you feel now with a wife and daughter, if you do that too much, it probably is at their expense some.
Absolutely.
It's different than when you were just flying solo.
Mm-hmm. And I think even that, it's now that I have a business that I've created outside of my full-time job that has 10 people working for me, they get penalized. You know, their ability to get feedback from me, attend meetings. I'll schedule a meeting, and then I'm the one flicking out on it, you know, just because I'm the boss and I haven't done my part to plan and think ahead. And one thing you three do a great job of, so I'm going to say this so you don't have to say it on a podcast, you all set a great example of productivity and passion, but it never looks frenetic. Like, and I think that, and I'm not saying busy, I'm not saying you all aren't going, you know, zipping around, but there's not a frenetic pace. And when someone engages with you as individuals or collectively, you feel present, and the person feels, and the other end feels that. And that is the exact opposite of what gets glamorized in our culture of the jet setter who's making things happen. Is they're on their cell phone, and you know, we know there are personalities out there that evangelize that, and I'm not trying to take shots at anybody because I'm a fan of most people, you know, but it's just that's the thing that's being praised, is to be absent mentally because you're so busy and productive and successful. And I think that's what you all demonstrate. Hopefully through these practices, you all who are listening can get this as well. It can be done.
Well, one thing you touched on, Kevin, and I hope people don't miss this, but a yes, a really well thought out yes, is a powerful way to say no. Mm. And I think planning is, that's the most important aspect of planning, is really well defining what your yeses are going to be. Mm. So that your no becomes much easier. Mm-hmm. And we're all thrown at these other activities and other things we can do. But for example, if Jeff has a date night planned with Wendy, that's a powerful yes. And somebody comes along and says, hey, can you speak at this event? Can you do this? It's a really easy no at that point. But it's because he's thought about, and we've thought about what our yes is going to be, so our no becomes much easier.
Right. So I would say for me, on a personal level, it's okay to look at your life through the stages of the launch sequence. You know, I mean, different phases of your life are going to be at different stages of the launch sequence. This year for me is going to be prototyping again with my health. I feel like I've fallen off the wagon. I'm living a much more sedentary lifestyle. I've got to go back to prototyping what the rhythm of working out regularly looks like when I have a family and a child, and there's bedtime and bath time at, you know, 8:30. So I think what I would say is, right now, as professionally, I'm definitely much more in a validating stage. I think this year was a lot of prototyping, a lot of experimenting, and I think it's okay to own that and say, I'm experimenting right now. I don't know if I settled into the right situation. Because if you own that even mentally, you give yourself a little bit more grace to change and say, like to Jeff's example earlier, maybe March is going to feel like January 1st again for you, and that's okay.
To pick up on that thought, Kevin, I love it. I have taken the whole idea of innovation and the launch sync, which we defined as kind of understand the issue, then you do some imagining or ideating, then prototype, then validate or test, and then if you like it, if the results are good, you launch it. I've taken that and applied it. We think of it as being applicable at a business level or a project level, but I've found in all areas of my life, I can take that model and give it a go. So I want a new workout routine. I can play around with it. I want a new discipline. Like I said, I'm going to try using go hire an Uber driver for at times, you know, and work while they're driving. You know, just to, I'm going to do it as a social experiment almost. I'm going through the process, and I've done it spiritually, relationally, and not everything I tried has stuck. There have been some things that, you know, you go, that was crazy.
I will say, when you drive up and somebody else is driving you and you're doing work, there's a little bit of envy and jealousy that kicks in for me. But I love it. It's so cool because he's literally doing this experiment. He's back there with this little lap thing and he's got a computer out and the guy's just driving down the road. I love it.
Talking about this and Shane goes, I dare you to try that.
Exactly.
So I did. And so what I learned from that is just give it a go. It doesn't mean you're obligated to doing it forever. And some of the stuff's not going to stick, but you may find some new practices, habits, rituals that become gems that either enhance the quality of your life or help you move towards the fulfillment of some of those big goals you've got. So.
And I'll give you one, you know, in terms of habits that I think is so important but so easily overlooked, and that's sleep. If you're not getting the right sleep, it's going to impact every single area of your life. And I remember a friend of ours, Dan Cathy, this was 8 years ago, his big sticky statement of the year was get eight in 2008. Mm-hmm. And what he was saying is, I'm going to try to get 8 hours of sleep every night for this year. That may not sound like, I'm going to go change the world, but that if you're operating on minimal sleep, you're just not going to be able to do this stuff. And there's research now that says one of the best ways to lose weight is to get more sleep. I mean, how wonderful is that?
Well, you know? And there's all kinds of you know, devices like Fitbits and Garmins that will actually Apple Watch it, track your hours of sleep. And so I think it's really, really important. It's a great habit to pick up on for this next year for sure.
Jeff, tell us about what's going on in your life a little bit as you look at 2017. Where's an area you're trying to take a lot of ground, and how do you see yourself going about that?
Well, it's a little bit to what Shane was saying earlier, and this may sound like a sleep example, but I want to say no to the right things. And so, for example, I had a really cool speaking opportunity in Nashville that I turned down yesterday because my daughter's going to be going to school, to college for the first time. And it's not exactly on that day, but it's around that day. And I thought, I can't, you know, so, but I'm saying no to that and saying yes to this.
Strong yes made it for an easier no.
Right. So I want to continue to be really clear on what I want to accomplish, and that's going to require me to say no. And I'm a people pleaser, which makes this doubly tough. So I want to say, this may not seem like, wow, that's not a great goal, but I really want to say no a lot more, if that makes any sense. So
add me. I'm in the Jeff Henderson team right now. I think that's on my list. There's more no's, stronger yeses, people pleaser.
We probably all need that.
And honestly, that's why. I mean, Jeff is such a great example of how to still push past those kinds of things to be a great leader and be a great dad and a great husband. Saying, yeah, this might be a struggle of mine, but this is an opportunity for me to grow. I got to face it.
Mm-hmm. And I think on the one other, just, and this is just like really practical, but you gave me, I think, the book Supple Leopard a few years ago. It's a pretty big book, and it's kind of intimidating because this guy, I'm like, I'll never be this guy. But I'm experiencing some back problems. And so in the year ahead, I'm just going to stretch a whole lot more because now this pain is now becoming my creating this why. So I got that book out this weekend and thought I'm starting all over because I kind of gave up on that book because this guy's like, you know, this guy.
It's like a reference Bible on stretching and mobility. So
and Jeff, you've done a great job of this over the years, but I would imagine that'll take shape like I'm going to stretch 15 minutes every morning, right, and you'll set a goal and you'll track it. And right, you've done that with push-ups and sit-ups, right, and the like. And but there's a mental image of what you want that flexibility to look like. And then you just set some simple goals. Say, I'm going to stretch 15 minutes every day when I get up. Now, this is the part I don't want anybody to lose. What makes that really powerful is that you just shared it with us.
Right.
Right? And so...
And everyone listening.
Exactly. And so every time you meet somebody, they're going, how's the stretching going?
Right.
You know?
No, no, no. Jeff, bend over and touch your toes.
Exactly. So, you know, I think this is really important. I mean, yes, we're doing this podcast on how to launch 2017, but really, this is no different than what we've done for the last 15, 20 years. We get together, we talk about goals and what we're dreaming about, we build sticky statements to purpose statements, and we go, now, what are the habits that we're going to form for the next year? And the important part of this is you just got to share it. So my encouragement is, spend some time thinking about your personal plan, but then find somebody that you can share that with. Now, this is, to me, the best part about Launch U, is we're trying to pull together a community of people that actually can connect and begin to share some of these things we're dreaming and talking about and what we're wanting to launch and start. And we're all launching things, whether that's a new habit or a new business. But, man, isn't it great to be a part of a group of people where you can kind of share this? And most importantly, the accountability that comes with that. Because as soon as you say it, it's out there and somebody has the authority and the opportunity to ask you about that.
Well, and it's the whole principle of iron sharpens iron. So that's why I love being around you guys, is because when I'm around you, I'm thinking, I got to, it's not keep up competitively, but the main thing I walk away with, and here's another habit for 2017, is I want to remain inspired. Mm. I want to remain inspired. I don't want to start...
That's a great sticky statement, by the way. There's a lot to that, right? You've got to do a lot of things to be inspired.
So I'm not going to share this idea with the community quite yet because it's kind of an outlandish idea. But when we hit stop recording, I want to share an idea that I presented yesterday. But it is an outlandish idea that I think could possibly happen in the next 2 months. But to do that, you have to...
Anticipation.
To think big, you have to remain inspired. And so when I hear, you know, what's going on here, and I hear what Kevin's launching, and I hear what you're doing with the app, and Dave's doing the menu strategy and everything else, I got to remain inspired. And when you remain inspired, you think big. So, and there's different things that you can use to remain inspired.
And there's one thing I just want to make sure we hit. And if you... Are you expanding on that?
No.
Okay. There's one thing that... I think it's powerful, and that's, you wrote on the board earlier, creating momentum with an early win.
Right.
And I don't want that to get lost, because I feel like momentum is just so important, you know. And I think people say, well, people give up on their goals or their, you know, their resolutions first 4 weeks, 5 weeks of the year. And I just want to challenge anyone who's listening, find something small. Like, I think that's why the action planning portion is so important, is if you find one thing you can do that will help you see that you are making progress, things are going to change. And that, once again, that starts with the assessment. You might see you did better this year than you thought you did, but deciding your next steps, getting the index card out like David was talking about, whatever your way of capturing that, you have to do it, because it's going to be the way you start to really make the traction you really want faster. And I think for me last year, I'm a planner too by nature, but I've also used planning a lot as a means for paralysis. I mean, at one point in my life, I thought I wasn't a launcher. I thought I was a phony, just because I felt like I could never do the things I saw I could do. I didn't recognize that helping others launch and execute their ideas is still launching. So I didn't give myself any credit for my ability to assist others. Mm-hmm. And then over the past, I would say 2 years, I've just said, you know, I'm just gonna do it. Like, I've researched and planned enough to just try something, whether through a prototype of some kind. And every single time, the prototype itself has kickstarted so much momentum that I'm riding a wave where I'm DJing, you know, 18 parties a year, right? It's like, it was not because Kevin is better at DJing than you, or you know, it was, I love the idea of helping people have a good time with music. That was the end of it. And I said I'd do a couple of times, and now it's like, well,
got an early win.
And that's it. It was totally an early win.
You know, it's fascinating. My daughter set a goal to run a half marathon this year. And just going down this path, if you break these goals down, like David mentioned, and we've been talking about, I mean, running half marathon, you know, if you've never done it before, it's like a huge goal. The first thing we did is we went to the shoe store and we celebrated buying a new pair of tennis shoes. And she was so fired up. It's like, that's an early win. And then you celebrate, hey, Dad, I walked 2 miles. That's an early win. Hey, Dad, you create these early wins and it creates momentum towards this objective of hitting some of these goals.
That's great.
The one thought I would add is remember that perfection is not the goal too. Mm-hmm. So you get that early win and things don't go exactly as you hoped and dreamed, it's okay. It generally does not. You know, wipe yourself off, get back up, hit the reset button and go again, because it's all about just chipping away at it. And the progress you make, that's the win.
Well, with that, we're in the bonus section of the podcast now. And so why don't we just go around one final time and talk maybe last bit of advice before the new year. Shane, why don't we start with you?
My advice is don't overthink this. Get into the moment of dreaming about the person that you want to become in certain areas of your life and build some sticky thoughts around that, things that motivate and encourage you, and then begin to think about, okay, what's the first step that I could take towards doing that? What's the first early win that we could create either individually or together as a couple, depending on what the size of the goal is? But what's that first step? So spend some time thinking about it, set some sticky statements, and then identify what an early win would look like. And I think you'll have a really good start, and it'll create some momentum for you going into 2017.
That's great, Kev.
If you're a launcher, which you are, you probably have more ideas than you have capacity, more ideas than you have time or resources. So I would challenge launchers to prune. It's okay. I mean, make the big dream list. Let it all hang out. Give yourself permission to imagine. But I think you have to say, I'm going to get more out of my energy and effort if I'm willing to focus, even if it is for the first quarter while I prototype idea number one. Like, you have to do something, I think, that's going to get that list a little smaller, because you are launching and it's so much of your energy, your time, your passion, your money, whatever you're putting up. Putting yourself in a situation where you feel defeated is actually going to hurt your goals way more than the idea not working. And I think many times I've seen myself and other people put themselves in situations where they just feel defeated. The goal list is just too long, and you're setting yourself up to feel like you're not making progress, no matter how hard you work. And so I would just challenge you, pick three or four. Like, you know, I mean, what if in any area of your life, just give yourself that permission to pick, be focused, and give yourself an opportunity to see progress, so that you don't, you know, one week going wrong doesn't set your whole plan off, or 1 month with a challenge with your family or at work doesn't throw your whole plan off. So I would say, you know, be selective next year. Give yourself the permission to say no to something, even just temporarily.
Yeah. I think my tip would be take some time and ask yourself what new resources would help you move towards this goal that you're working on. And a resource can be anything from a trainer to help you with physical goals, somebody that helps you with recipes. I'm getting a new Whole Foods in my neighborhood. I'm excited about that because it's going to give me access to some healthy food choices that I haven't had. Tapping into somebody who can help you with bookkeeping, or
an Uber driver.
An Uber driver.
There you go.
It could be, you talked about a Fitbit. What is a new resource that would catapult you forward?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, two quick pieces of advice. One will be very unpopular, but we'll go for it anyway. But the first one is, I would go back on this, create momentum before you get into the new year. An example of that, I have a book list. So one of the things I try to do before January 1st, I would try to read a book to get ahead. So I'm already in the new year, and I'm already ahead of my book list. So if you can leverage, you know, many people take the year off, and, you know, and Tommy Newberry talks about, you know, real estate, everybody, oh, nobody's going to sell real estate. Don't waste those last few days. Go for it. And so, is there a way to gain some momentum? The other thing, and I mentioned this, I was speaking in front of a younger audience, and I mentioned this, and I could tell everybody just didn't like it, but I'm not against Netflix. I think it's amazing. I love it. Go Netflix. All right. Hashtag Netflix. But I hear so often, particularly from younger, I just started a new series on Netflix. I went from one series to the next series. And I often think, why don't you pause on that next series and read a book? And I'm not saying if it's documentaries, that's great. But I do get a little nervous about us just binge watching all the time. So to go back, what is something that you could stop doing? Before you go to that next series, I would pause and maybe read a book between, and then you go to the next series.
So. Binge planning. You heard it first here.
But I'm not saying Netflix is wrong. But anyway, so, well, that's it, guys. So Happy New Year. It's awesome. Very excited. By the way, I would also encourage you to try something new in the year ahead. This is new. This did not exist this time last year. And a couple of years ago, one of the things I wanted to do was to do a 5-minute stand-up comedy routine. And it really stretched me as a communicator because, you know, it's one thing to be a communicator and tell a joke, but when you stand up and
I don't ever remember you doing your routine in front of us. We may need to, after the podcast, I'd love to hear it.
Y'all are a tough crowd. So try something new. So that's what we're doing with Launch University. Kev, what can they do to continue to help us in these early days?
Yeah, I think, first of all, going on iTunes, leaving us a review, rating the show, that's really important. We keep talking about the word community. We really care about your feedback. So there's a form on our website. So if you go to launchu.net or launchuniversity.com, that's Y-O-U, in front of the university there, then you'll have the opportunity to leave us feedback. Let us know what you're thinking. This really is for you. I mean, you can hear from the tone today. This is a group of people who I'm really honored to be connected with because of their hearts to actually serve people on the other end of this content. So that's really powerful. The other thing is join the email list when you're there, right? I mean, connect with us in as many ways as you're willing to do so, because our goal next year is to ramp this up. The podcast was phase one in our prototype for us to start seeing what can we do out there? Will this connect? Is this helpful? And as we're getting great feedback from the prototype, you can be rest assured that we're going to be ramping things up. So that's what I would ask you to do. Give us feedback and connect, because that matters to us.
And we're also talking about maybe bringing Launch University live to a city near you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you want us to come to your city, email us, and particularly those listeners in Hawaii. So we believe this year is going to be a great year for you, and we're excited about the journey ahead. Thanks for being a part of Launch University, and we'll see you in the new year.
Thanks for listening to the Launch University podcast. We hope it's helped move you from go-getter to difference maker. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. Find more great resources at launchu.net.